John 14:10 says in the Greek text, "The words that I speak not of myself, but my Father that dwelleth in me speaketh them. And the works that I do not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me doeth them." Glory to God. The Word of the living God that came forth out of Jesus' mouth was exactly God saying the words, and the works that He did was exactly God doing them. There was no separation. They were the same. Glory to God. And then Hebrews, the first chapter, verse 2 says, "God hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." So if I want to find out what God would say, all I have to do is listen to the words of Jesus. Find where it says it in red in your Bible, and then read the red, glory to God, and that's what God would say. If you want to hear a sermon that Jesus preached, just go and read the red, and that's sermons like Jesus. That's Jesus preaching. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So we started out by going through the book of Matthew, finding the sayings of Jesus in instances where healings were taking place. And then we went into Luke. So everybody go to Luke with me. Luke 17. We had to skip over many of the healings in Luke because we'd already covered them when we were in Matthew, even comparing many of those in Matthew and Luke and Mark. I don't know if we'll have time to get to Mark or not. We might have to wait until the next healing month, whenever that's going to be, to get into Mark. I don't even know if we're going to make it to John yet. I don't know if that's where the Lord wants me to make it. I already have sermon one or two. I have two written from Acts from the third day that I've never gotten to. Glory to God. But we're just attempting to follow the leading of the Lord. Now look here with me, chapter 17, verse 11. And this is the third night we've been on this. Verse 11, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." Remember the first night we said, Talmudic law said that they had to be at least 100 paces outside the multitudes of people or away from people. Remember, and then we went into the Old Testament in Leviticus, the 14th chapter, verse 1 through 7, and we discussed and discovered in one evening exactly what was taking place with Jesus' first saying that's coming up in verse 14, but let's read verse 13 first. "And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest." And that's accorded with Leviticus 14, verse 1 through 7, "Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed." Everybody say cleansed. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back," and number one thing that he did, "and with a loud voice," everybody say loud voice,
loud.
"And with a loud voice glorified God." Oh, with a loud voice he glorified God. Don't get me started again. Oh, I tell you what, I got going on this last night. He wasn't just a little timid, "Oh, I glorify you, Lord," with a loud voice.
Amen.
Then we went over to chapter 19 and we found out that the multitudes worshiped him and praised him with a loud voice. And the second thing that he did this leper who was that he's going to tell us in just a second, and fell down on his face at his feet. In fact, the word for worship that appears the majority of times in the New Testament is where we get the word prostrate from. And it means to fall down on your face. Worship just not as little say, "Oh, thank you, Lord." It's falling down on your face, grabbing a hold of the feet of the master, and kissing and fondling his feet is what the word worship means. Now, he's not here physically, but glory be unto God, we are, and we can still and should be falling on our face before God and worshiping him. The reason why people don't get more stuff from God is because they just don't worship him. Oh, they come to church and sing a couple of songs. That's not good enough. Amen me because it's the truth. You're supposed to amen me when it's the truth. Just sing a little song. Well, pastor wrote the song. That ought to be good enough. No, that's not good enough unless you're going home and falling on your face and singing it to Him and worshiping Him with Him. I mean, when you get up in the morning, you ought to be worshiping the Lord. Do you, Pastor? Oh, yes, Pastor does. Just like he did this morning, first thing I did, I worshiped God. The first thing that came out of my mouth when my eyes woke, wakened up, I worshiped the Lord. Folks, oh, just wait. I'm going to get ahead of myself if I go on. Just wait, and you're just going to see how really important it is. And notice this. Number one, a loud voice he glorified God with. He fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Notice the Bible tells us, the Holy Ghost says, and he was a Samaritan. The Bible, the Lord God, the Holy Ghost, Jesus wants us to know that this man was not even Jewish. He was without a God. He was without a covenant. He was without pedigree. He had nothing but his worship and his faith. Then we went in and looked at the Syrophoenician woman, the Greek woman who lived in Canaan. And she came and she worshiped Jesus. And God moved on her behalf. And then we went to look at Rahab, the harlot, in Joshua the second chapter. Another one, three people we looked at that did not have pedigree, that did not have a covenant, and God moved for all three of them when they exhibited their worship and their praise. There was Rahab going, oh, Jehovah God, she said, covenant God, contracting God. I mean, she was a harlot, a prostitute, and she started worshiping him, and she said about him, creator of the heavens. Elohim, creator of the earth, just like they did in Acts, the fourth chapter, glory to God, when they came together and God moved mightily on her behalf and delivered her, but not only her household.
Hallelujah.
And we found out by looking at the word whole here, it's the word sozo. It's the word that not only means salvation, temporal deliverance for our body and for our prosperity, but it also means salvation. These people were able to move into an old covenant salvation because of their worship and their praise and their faith. Glory be unto God. And then this guy comes back. Hallelujah. And he was made totally whole. That means all of his fingers that had fallen off because of the disease, his toes, his nose, probably his ears, parts of his cheeks, his shoulders had fallen off because he was really into this leprosy disease, and he was made every whit whole, and God restored his body. Glory be unto God. Now the Lord's good, isn't he? Hallelujah. So we're going to go on. Turn with me, if you would please, to Romans, the fourth chapter. Worship and praise of the Almighty God is faith in action. Your worship will access things that nothing else will access. And I've been telling you there are things that will keep you or keep God's power from reaching you, but I'll tell you what, you worship God and His power will find you. And that's just the way it is. There's no arguing with God about it. Chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who makes alive the dead. He makes dead things alive. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. He says that things that don't exist, exist. Now that's a wild God we serve. He looks at something that doesn't exist and says, I say you exist. He looked at Abraham, and Abraham didn't exist as a father, and God said, I call you a father of many nations. Something that did not exist, he said, exist. So if we're going to do what God does, and folks, this is the sayings of the Almighty God. Jesus said the same thing. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. You believe that they exist before you see them. I mean, if you're missing something, if you're missing money, if you're missing a part of your body, if you're missing anything, your peace, you just have to start. If you're confused and you're without peace, you just have to start saying, "Peace, you exist in me. I say you exist in my life. I say peace, you exist in my life. I say healing, you exist in my life. I say good blood pressure, you exist in my life. I say normal blood pressure, you exist in my life. I say back, you're healed. I say healing. I say healing exists in my back. I say healing exists in my heart. I say," folks, you've heard it. You've heard it before. You're going to hear it again right now, because the Holy Ghost is just moving on the inside. You say things that don't exist exist. That's the way God does it. I've been getting, people have been testifying to me, telling me that just, not just one, two, three, many have been saying that just sitting here, the word is working in them and healings come into their bodies and pain's leaving their body. Why? It's just the word. It's the word. Glory to God. Folks, I heard from God about doing this, and it's working in my body. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ooh, I'm anointed just thinking about it. Glory to God. Well, let's go on, because it's so good. And against hope, believed in hope. Well, there's just no hope. Oh, that's the same thing Abraham was looking at. There was no hope, but against hope, he believed in hope. He got a hold of another kind of hope, the hope of the Word of the living God. Romans, the 4th chapter, verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. You just got to get what was spoken. Hallelujah. Woo.
Hallelujah.
Doing my dance. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. The woman couldn't have babies. But guess what? She had one. Ooh, glory. You just look at the result of it. Just look over across the sea in Israel. The result of it. The result of one child. Just think where that'd be if 6 million of them hadn't been slaughtered in the 40s. Ooh, glory. Ooh, glory. Verse 20. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. No unbelief or distrust made him waver or doubtingly question concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith. Get this next phrase: as he gave praise and glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let me read it again. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. You want to know how he was looking at the no hope situation and kept on in hope believing? The man was out there on his face before God. The Holy Ghost tells us how he kept getting strong when his body was past his prime. When her body was, it was impossible for her to have a baby. It tells us how he was able to access the strength, access the power of God, access this creative power. The man was worshiping God, giving glory to God and praise to God. And when he did it, glory to God, he just kept growing stronger. And he was being empowered by faith. The more he gave glory to God, the stronger he got. And pretty soon, that the thing that said impossible was not even affecting his life, was not playing any part with his mind. All he could see is what God had said.
Yeah,
you know, I just really, I need healing. Just start worshiping him. and praising him, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. Blessed be the name of God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but this is doing me good. I'm glad I came today and worshiped the Lord for about 4 hours. You know, Pastor has some challenges in his life just like you do. But you know what I do? I really don't mope around. You can ask my wife, I am not a moper. I do not mope around for a week. I don't even mope around for 30 minutes. I refuse to be a moper. I just go and I'll worship God. And I'll say, remember what you preached last night, preacher. That's what I say to myself. Remember what you preached last night. You preached that you worship. You had to get on your face before God. So I just got down. I was in the middle of my business and I just walked. And I said, okay, God. I said, I'm getting down on my face before you, Lord. And I got down on my face and I started worshiping God and worshiping him. Lord. Oh, Lord. Scrushed in my state. Oh, glory. And God's presence just comes into your life and just washes all that stuff out. If you'll just do it, glory be unto God. And don't be concerned about anybody thinking you're weird. Big deal. We're going to look in just a second what people thought about Jesus. People close to him. So don't be concerned about what people think. About you calling things that be not as though they were. If you're missing something in your life, just say it. I say you exist in the name of Jesus. I call things that be not as though they were. I call healing existing in my body. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You got funky little growths on your body? Just start looking at those things every day and say, you don't move me. I call you healed and off of my body in Jesus' name. Are you listening? Somebody came in here the other day. I can't remember who it was. And said 15 years ago or so, we were here in this church. Oh, I remember who it was now. We were here in this church, and you spoke out about warts. And my little daughter had warts all over her hands, and they just left her hands immediately. Now, my response to that should have been, well, why didn't you keep coming to church here? Her hand just got clear. God didn't want you to have growth all over your body. Do you think faith is just reserved for Jesus speaking to a fig tree? My Lord, no. What good does that do you? But there's a principle. You curse things from the root and they die. Glory be unto God. Curse poverty from the root and poverty got to die. Curse sickness from the root and sickness has got to die. Oh man, I'm glad I came tonight, whether you are or not. Now notice this, but he grew strong. You ever feel like you need to grow stronger in spirit, soul, and body? Just start worshiping and praising him. I don't know what to say. We'll find out. Go over there and read what David said under the anointing of the Spirit when he was in the Psalm. Just start going through the Bible and find out what worshipers said, put it all together, and then learn something from it, and then go out on your own. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know, my brothers and sisters, many things in life, you've got to prime it before you get going. You got to pour a little gasoline into the carburetor sometime. I guess that's what they still do. I mean, some cars, not the old ones, yeah, the new electronic stuff you probably. But, you know, I remember Dad pouring gasoline in there and hitting it, wham, primed it. Then they prime the water pump. Well, sometimes you just need a little something to get you started, and then you'll do okay on your own. Hallelujah. Just make it up as you go. As long as he's getting the glory out of it, and you're making him big instead of going, oh, God. Oh, are you ever going to show up? That's not worship. Forget it. That's just doubt. You start magnifying for his greatness. I started today worshiping. Oh, you're so great. You created me. You reached down and you took dust and you formed me. You formed my predecessor by just forming him up and breathing your life into him. My God, There's nobody else can do that. I mean, get it together. Hallelujah. Woo. Excuse me while I do my little dance. Spit on myself. Glory to God. Are you listening? He grew strong and was empowered as he gave praise and glory to God. Strength comes as you give praise and glory to God. It infuses the saint with power. Now, the King James Bible says in verse 20, he staggered not. Now, we need to look at that word just a second. Everybody say staggered not.
Staggered.
It's the Greek word diakrino. D-I-A-K-R-I-N-O, if we transliterate it, diakrino. Many of you remember because I have a teaching on the words for doubt in the New Testament, and we've spent many minutes, much time on the word diakrino. Haven't taught on it in a long time. You'll know the word diakrino better as it appears in Mark, the 11th chapter, verse 23. Go over there, if you would, please. Mark 11. That's one after Matthew, preacher. Mark 11. We'll be going back over to Romans now. I want you to look at verse 23. Jesus saying, it first tells him to have the God kind of faith in the marginal rendering, which means if he's telling us to have the God kind of faith, we can have the God kind of faith. We can have faith just like God has it, or he would be an unjust God telling us to have something that we can't attain to. Are you listening now? If he said to have the God kind of faith, Chris, he's telling Chris, you can do it, buddy. You can do her, guy. I'm on your side. You can do her. Now look at this. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. That word doubt is the same word diakrino that's translated staggered not. So when it's talking about staggering, it's talking about doubting. Now the word diakrino in its simplest definition, and it would be so easy for us to understand many of these words if they were just translated in a better fashion than what the translators in the 1600s translated them. The word means to differ, D-I-F-F-E-R, to differ. So if we read this way, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not differ in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. In other words, he's saying, if you got the same thing coming out your mouth as what you've got in your heart, if there's not a difference between what you believe and what you say, you're going to have what you're saying.
Amen.
Doubt is simply this form of doubt, is making sure you're saying the same thing that's down inside your heart. Well, how do I believe in my heart? Well, he tells us when the word's spoken, that the word goes forth from the sower into the heart of man, and if he understands it, there's where it stays. You hear the word and keep hearing the word and keep hearing the word and keep hearing the word, and all of a sudden, this stuff starts making a little more sense to you. Now, some of you haven't sat under this for a long time. We've got some that have just been coming and coming and coming. Yes, we go through the Word. This stuff's starting to say, you're starting to go, you know, this might be the truth. Well, if I got you saying this might be the truth, pretty soon you're going to be saying this is the truth. But it doesn't come overnight generally. Sometimes it does. I go to the mission field and they have no other options. They don't have the money to go to the doctor. I mean, you come and you say to these, realize how I say it, these very simple people have very simple lives. Not simple as in lacking mentally, but they're simple because they haven't had the opportunity to advance themselves scholastically. But they're simple. But you just tell them, Jesus heals, and they go, okay. Sounds good to me. You give the altar call, a couple of thousand people come up, and you got 400 or 500 that'll leave healed. Well, okay, you're the preacher, you ought to know. And then on the other hand, you get preachers down there, it's a bunch of hogwash, and they go, well, you're the preacher, you ought to know, until they come to a meeting and they say, well, I like what you're saying better. Yeah. Amen. But we, if we hear, glory to God, we receive. I mean, my wife, Sister Leanne, a couple of others, taught a real simple children's church lesson, and then afterwards said to the little kids, how many of you want to get saved and receive Jesus? 100 kids came. Well, that's just the best they've got. They're not distracted by Nintendo or PlayStation. What's that? Jesus, we understand. Glory to God. I don't know how I got on that. Maybe some of you are supposed to go to the mission field with me too. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you just keep getting in the Word and you'll start believing in your heart. And once that Word gets down in your heart, just make sure you never say anything different than what's down in your heart. Don't walk around after you hear this saying, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick. No, 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 no. You call things that be not as though they were. Yes, the facts are you're sick, but the truth of the matter is, by whose stripes you were healed.
Hallelujah.
You're healed. But I don't, look, that's why we're here for 21 days. To get you beyond looking like Abraham got beyond looking, and he started looking at what God said about it.
Hallelujah.
That's faith. Oh, that's faith, glory to God. Everybody say, diakrino.
Diakrino.
Now let's look at that again, because I want you to see something. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, everybody say whosoever.
Whosoever.
This is for anybody who will do this. Just like the Samaritan leper and the Syrophoenician woman who was pursuing Jesus and worshiping Jesus to get her daughter who was demon-possessed delivered, and just like Rahab the harlot, they didn't have pedigree. This isn't a only super spiritual people, only people whose fathers were preachers, only people who have touched Brother Hagin, only people who really like Brother Hagin, only people who worship Kenneth Copeland. Now, this is whosoever shall say. You don't have to have pedigree, it's just if you say it.
Amen.
Oh, that's from a couple of weeks ago, but it's good anyway. This is for anybody who will say it and believe it and not doubt it. Go back with me to Romans, the 4th chapter. Now, I want you to notice this. Verse 20 again in the Amplified. No unbelief or distrust made him waver or doubtingly question concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Now, I can draw from that if worship and praise causes you to be empowered, then doubt and lack of it will cause you to be weakened. Because if you're not using your mouth to worship Him, you're using your mouth to worship circumstances and situations. And every time I walk about talking about how sick I am, how poor I am, how I don't have this, how I don't have that, I am worshiping the circumstance. I am raising it to an exalted place in my life. You ever been around people that all they talk about are all the bad stuff? Well, that's not what God wants us to do. Everybody's got something that's not great in their life, but I'd rather be around people who are chipper and upbeat. Hallelujah. When they walk into the room, sun comes up instead of the sun setting and no moon coming out. You know, it's just dark. It's a gloom. Oh, no, here they come again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you listening now? Let's go on, because the sentence hasn't stopped. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. As he worshiped God, something started happening. He started getting fully satisfied on the inside. He started getting assured on the inside that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. As he worshiped and praised God, something started coming over Abraham. He started getting this assurance on the inside of him. Wait, if God said, I've made you a father of many nations, he's made me a father of many nations. I'm assured of that. Before he ever saw anything. Are you listening now? Glory to God. He looked at what did not exist in his body and Sarah's body, and he started worshiping God, and he got fully persuaded, glory to God, fully satisfied, fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform.
Amen.
It'll do the same for you, worship and praise, if you just worship him. I said if you just worship him, it'll do the same for you, or you cannot do it and just be weakened. I said, or you cannot do it and just be weakened. Now, 2 Chronicles 20, everybody's been there at least 20 times in their life. 2 Chronicles, but I'm not going to shy away from it just because you know what it says. 2 Chronicles 20, I mean, Israel was in dire straits. The enemy was coming to do away with them. And I want you to notice, well, first, verse 17. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord Jehovah will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. They went on their faces too. They got down on their face and started worshiping God. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice. Uh-oh, here comes this loud voice stuff again.
Oh, just praise you. Oh, thank you, Jesus, so much. Oh, thank you, Jehovah. Thank you. Oh,
no, loud voice. Everybody say loud.
Loud.
Well, I just can't muster one. Well, try. Take a deep breath, use the diaphragm muscles, and put it out your mouth. Verse 19, they stood up to praise the Lord, Jehovah God of Israel, with a loud voice on high, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. We were there in December. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah. Oh, glory. We sang and played in Tekoa. Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord Jehovah, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out. Everybody say praise. As they went out before the army and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and all the rest of the enemy. The first ones they sent forth, the first thing that they did was praise and worship the Almighty God. And when they did it, glory to God, the army didn't have to do anything.
Hallelujah.
Now don't look at me in that tone of voice. Praising and worshiping lays the groundwork for the move of God in your bodies, in your finances, my brothers and sisters. It's the most important thing you can do because it's faith in action. Would you just fall down on your face before God like they did and you worship Him and then you stand up and you shout unto Him and praise Him with a loud voice and lift your hands because that word there, praise, is the word hallel. It's where you get the word hallelujah. The word praise there, hallel in Hebrew. It means to go on clamorously foolish.
Amen.
I mean, that means you're just making a nut fool of yourself for God.
Hallelujah.
Then down in verse 21 where it says, Praise the Lord Jehovah, that word praise is the word yada. And the word yada comes from the Hebrew word yad, The word yod in Hebrew is this part of the arm right here, from the armpit to the hands. In fact, in modern Hebrew, it's the same. Now, the hand has become known as the yod, but actually, it's the yod kapit. It's the kapit, small. It's the small part of the yod, which it is. It's, and he said, lift your hands up to the Lord. Glory be unto God. Lift yod. Ah is yod, hands to Jehovah Yah, Yahweh. And so they're lifting their hands up to him. They're saying, praise the Lord. And they're shouting and going on clamorously foolish. For those on the outside are looking and saying, these people are insane. Oh, you go on about that, and anything that does not exist in your life will exist. It'll lay the groundwork for God to move in your life. You'll do it. This is a little bit more palatable than the diet sermons, isn't it? Notice the word palatable. Amen. Glory to God. Are you listening? I mean, just lift up our hands and worship Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! I said, woo! Glory. So first things first, praise and worship Him, and get God will move on your behalf. And the enemy just destroyed each other. That's what happened. They turned against each other and destroyed each other. And when they destroyed each other, then the children of Israel went in and spoiled them and took everything they wanted out of their camp. Don't tell me that's not reason to get on your face. Hallelujah. Can you imagine a bunch of football players, first off, learning Psalm 91 and speaking Psalm 91, and then right before they take the field, they all fall down on the sideline. Oh, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine what that's going to do to the enemy on the other side of the street, on the other side of the field? Oh, man. Are you listening now? I tell you what, worship will move things. I said, worship will move things. Luke, if you would, please. I'm getting ready to rework your brain just like God reworked mine today. I'm getting ready to mess with your brain. But you're going to see how vitally important worship and praise of God is. Hallelujah. Get ready to get your brain worked on. Here we go. Luke, the first chapter. Now, we studied this when we were speaking about Rhema the other day. Luke, the first chapter. I think I'll read some of it out of the Amplified Bible. But we go, I mean, just the Holy Ghost is leading us back there, so we're going to go look at some more things in it. Luke, the first chapter. We know that the angel Gabriel appeared unto Mary in verse 26, 27 down. Well, we just need to read it. In verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And now, this is a little teenage girl. It's a little young girl. It was a spouse to a man. Now, when they were a spouse, that was stronger than an engagement. They were like married, just they hadn't consummated the marriage yet. Now notice this. So she's a young girl. She's like 15, 16 years old, we believe. In verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Yeshua. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now you know what Jesus means, salvation, Yeshua. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? In other words, she had never had relations or intercourse with a man. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And we know that the word rhema appears in the original text, or the word word. We don't see it in the King James, but in the Amplified Bible we see, for with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word or rhema from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. So when the word of God goes forth, remember Rhema, the spoken word of God for those who weren't here, appears in the Greek text. Why they left the word out of the King James, I have no idea. You can just look and read in Greek and it's there. Just like I look in my Greek Bible and it's there. Amplified gets it, King James misses it. For with God's word, nothing is ever impossible. Now notice what Mary said. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy spoken word." And the angel departed from her. Are you listening now? Mary said, "Be it unto me according to the spoken word." Mary had to release her faith in the word that was spoken for the conception to take place. God just doesn't overpower people unless faith is involved. And you just will get, that's why she had to agree with the words. And to show you how important that was, over here in chapter 1 at the beginning, Zacharias, the angel appeared unto him and said, "Elizabeth shall bear thee a son," verse 13, "and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah." And verse 18, "And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." He starts debating with the angel. And the angel answered, said unto him, "I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed." Let me tell you what, my brothers and sisters. Let me tell you what. He couldn't have him speaking negative things, so it just made him so he couldn't talk. But his little wife Elizabeth has been pouring out her heart to God. I guarantee you she's in agreement with God.
Hallelujah.
Just like Samuel's mama. Oh, glory to God. I mean, if you don't say the right thing, just shut up. Better to say nothing than the wrong thing. It's better to say nothing than go around talking how sick that you are. Now, you can't get any place because faith, but you won't regress, but faith demands that we say what the Bible says. Glory to God. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. The rhema of faith got to come out of our mouth. Now, go back there to 38. "Be it unto me according to thy word." Now, something's getting ready to happen. Verse 39. "Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste." She went to see her cousin Elizabeth. Now, I want you to notice that she got up and went with haste. She went with haste. Everybody say haste.
Amen.
It's good after God speaks to you that if you go to haste, you go to haste with somebody who knows God. And don't go to haste with somebody who tries to take you down in your faith walk. Because just as easily as she was impregnated by the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, the Spirit of the Lord was messing with my mind today. He said, "Son, just as certainly as I impregnated her, she could have aborted this thing with the words of her mouth."
Amen.
The devil would have liked nothing. I'm going to show you in just a second. The devil would have liked nothing more than to have killed the baby conceived in her at that moment. You say, "Well, I don't think that he could have." Well, if that's the case, hold your finger there and look with me to Matthew, the second chapter. Verse 13, Jesus is born. Verse 12. "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod. They departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young..." Well, thank God he wasn't Zacharias. He would have argued. "Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." The devil tried to destroy him when he was a child, and the Lord's dealing with me. He's trying to destroy him inside of her womb. But she went to somebody in haste who knew God. I want you to notice what happened. She walks in, and in verse 41, it came to pass in Luke 1:41, "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." And that she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." The spirit of prophecy comes upon her. The word of knowledge goes into operation. We don't have any record that it ever operated before, but the Holy Ghost is moving. Woo! And she's a shaken. Glory to God. "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed." Oh, it's telling us she believed. Glory to God. It wouldn't have taken place if she hadn't believed.
Amen.
God just doesn't do stuff, even impregnate a 16-year-old little girl with the holy child Jesus, who was sent to save us and redeem us, without her believing. "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord, because she believed." And he believed, glory to God, that he that promised was able also to perform.
Hallelujah.
Was Abraham. There's going to be a performance because she believed. Now I want you to notice what's getting ready to take place. The devil wants nothing more than to abort that baby. It's not good enough to have somebody else's prophecy over you, telling you that that's what's on the inside of you is of God, that it's conceived on the inside of you because you believed. Oh, thus saith the Lord, speak out. This is what God wants to do in your life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's not good enough for you just to stand on the word that comes out of somebody else's mouth. They will help you war a good fight, the Bible says, but they won't help you win the battles. They'll help you war, but you're not going to win any battles unless you do what Mary... The Holy Ghost comes on Mary. I don't know that the Holy Ghost ever prophesied through her mouth before. But I want you to notice what gets ready to take place. The seed is getting ready to be cemented and protected by the words out of her mouth. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." She starts worshiping him and praising him under the spirit of prophecy, just like David of old, just like you'll do if you start worshiping him. Something will take place. You will start saying things out your mouth that you did not think of, because you'll hook in with that spirit of prophecy that every one of us have the right to do. I mean, every one of you, if you worshiped him very long, things start coming out of your mouth and you go, "Where did that come from?" By the spirit of prophecy. It just didn't have a "thus saith the Lord" tagged on it. And notice what she said, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." This is a 16-year-old teenage girl. "He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away, empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." Ooh, glory be unto God. The Spirit of the Lord started dealing with me. It wasn't good enough for her just to believe. She had to cement this with the words of worship and praise unto the Almighty God. The Word of God can be sown in your spirit When I'm preaching or when you're speaking the word, it can be sown in your spirit and you say, oh, that's true, Lord. I just praise you for that word. But until you get off and you start worshiping God, that seed that's been planted in you, that thing will not grow. Like it's so easy for the devil to pluck that out unless you lift up your, oh, Lord, I thank you so great. You're such a magnificent Father. Great and mighty are you, the creator of the earth, the creator of the sea, the creator of the heavens, the creator of everything that exists in all realms. You, O God, are the creator. You're the one that has breathed your spirit life into my spirit. And you go worshiping God and magnifying God, and that seed that's sown on the inside of you will start to grow on the inside of you. And you will become stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, I'm going to show you that there's a propensity here in this woman, not when she's not worshiping, to move in doubt and unbelief concerning what came forth from her womb. You need to know that it wasn't just, I believe that he's the Messiah. And then she went skipping happily on her way. There was strife in the household of Jesus because they didn't know who he was. So thank God for the worship of her mouth. Let's just look at some scriptures. Look at Matthew the 12th chapter, if you would, please. Matthew the 12th chapter. I'm going to show you how important worship is. Because if you don't worship, doubt can enter in. She moved in the power of the Spirit for 9 months, for that gestation period for the Son of God to come forth. But I want to show you something. Matthew 12, verse 46. Okay, I've messed with your minds a little. I'm going to mess with your minds a little more. This woman had a problem with doubting who she gave birth to. 46, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Have you ever been reading casually through the Bible and just thought to yourself, have you never asked anybody, oh, I wonder why he said that? That seems pretty cruel. Well, let me show you why he said it. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Mark the 3rd chapter. You have to see the context and see what's taking place that inspired him to say that concerning his mama and his brothers. Mark the 3rd chapter. Mark the 3rd chapter. Look at verse 20. And the multitude cometh together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends, it's not a good translation because your marginal rendering will say kinsmen. The Greek text says kinfolk. These are family members, not just friends. This is family. These are people with blood, same blood running through them. And when his family heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said he is beside himself. Now, I don't know if you know what beside himself means, but the word in Greek is the word ekstemi, and ekstemi means simply insane and out of his sense. His family members were having a hard time putting the truth of who he was with the facts of him just being their brother, and they saw him saying and doing these things. And when his family heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is insane. So let's set it up a little bit why he said what he said. He knew his family didn't believe in him. This same spirit of doubt that had entered into his family then was going to try to enter into his mama when she was pregnant. I mean, when an angel appears to you and says, the Savior is on the inside of you. Well, sure. Uh-huh. And we know that that's what happened because that's not what the idea of a messianic deliverer coming forth in their family was unheard of. Now let's go down, if you would please, to verse 31. There came then his brethren and his mother, his kinfolk, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. That's the context of the thing. I mean, in the midst of it, of his family saying, This guy's insane. He's teaching on devils and Beelzebub. Then they're really wanting to get him out of there. They thought their brother and their son was insane. The Spirit of the Lord is wanting me to get this idea over to me and to you. That worship, my brothers and sisters, causes the seed of the Word on the inside of you to grow and to bear fruit. The only thing that will do it is you worshiping God. That's why you need to worship God every day. That's why you need to get up in the morning and say, by me worshiping the Lord today, all of the seed of the Word, glory to God inside of me, is going to grow. Hallelujah. Now go back with me if you would please. Well, let's look at one other scripture. Oh, I can't forget this one on the way. John 7, and then we'll go over to Romans again. John 7, you just got to see this one scripture. That just kind of brings it all together. Verse 2. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. His brothers didn't even believe him. His family did not believe in who he is. Let me tell you what. It's a good thing Mary found a believing family member. Make haste to go to people who believe, and don't make haste to go to people who don't believe. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God's good. You're just wasting your time, they say. We're not. No, we're not. Romans, the fourth chapter. I'm going to close with this. Hallelujah. Verse 20 again out of the Amplified Bible. No unbelief or distrust made him waver or doubtingly question concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. Praise and worship is of the utmost importance for the people of God for healing or any other of the provisions made possible for us through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something that can be discounted. It's not something that can be let go. It's just like in 2 Chronicles 20:20. It's got to be the first thing that goes forth in every situation. Worship of the Lord.